Good morning, Arizona homeowners. We're in the garden, as we always are, this first hour of Rosie on the House. Welcome and good morning. We're having a little bit of a different good morning here in the studio this morning. Our special guest, John Eisenhower from Integrity Tree Service, has brought in some pomelo. Pomelo?
Pomelo.
What is this?
Well, it's an awesome fruit. It's a citrus fruit. A lot like a grapefruit, a little bit sweeter, and I like it a lot.
Yeah, I've never even heard of it.
The rind is you brought it in. It looked like almost like a miniature basketball.
I thought it was a squash.
I know they're bigger than a grapefruit, and they have a big, thick rind, and I love them. They're really easy to eat. A little easier to peel than a grapefruit.
Now, obviously, this is from your backyard. Mm-hmm. I've never seen one of these in a nursery. Did I just not know what I was looking at? Are they hard to find? Did you have to go to Malaysia to get this?
Yeah, they're a nice fruit. They're not as common as grapefruit, but you can get them through different citrus nurseries around town if you want to go buy one. But yeah, you see them in the stores sometimes too.
It says that they are low calorie and low fat, full of fiber, vitamin C, heart healthy, cancer fighting, antioxidant, and anti-aging.
Well, wow. We may just start a pomelo trend here. I'll tell you what, I'd eat 20 of these to every one grapefruit. I have never developed a taste for grapefruit.
Well, you'll know now that you've seen them and you know what they're all about, you can look for them in the stores because they do have them from time to time in the grocery stores.
And how much did you say they are? Like,
they're a little bit pricey, a couple of dollars a piece, but
so it'd be worth it
well
to have a tree.
It, sure.
Yeah.
Well, very good. It's called a pomelo. Pomelo.
Yes, I believe that's how it's pronounced.
All right. Well, it is the third Saturday of the month, and we're talking trees with Integrity Tree Service, Mr. John Eisenhower. What are our March talking points for trees?
Well, this is a time of month, or time of year you can prune just about anything. You know, we do a lot of trimming this time of year. We've been waiting till after the frost is behind us. And now we can just get started doing our pruning of your evergreen trees. It's still not too late to prune your deciduous trees, but kind of on that edge of that season. And great time for planting, good time for fertilizing.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. When we fertilize, go through what do you prefer? There's a lot of granulars, there's liquids, there's at least 100 different brands, probably.
Well, now there's this new thing called compost tea.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Compost tea is
so all kind of variables here.
Yeah, compost tea is more of a soil amendment. It just makes a more favorable rooting environment, and it's had some really great results. But fertilizer is it doesn't really matter what kind of product you put down. The NPK, the nitrogen, potassium, phosphorus blend is labeled on each of the products. That's what is the most critical factor, whether it's a liquid or whether it's a granular. You're getting the same chemicals into the soil, whether it's a organic or a non-organic fertilizer. Again, doesn't really matter. The roots don't really determine that. All the roots know is that if the chemical properties are there, it's going to benefit. But yeah, it's a good time. We always recommend prescriptive fertilization. Just throwing fertilizer around the yard is not always a great idea.
Darn it.
Because the fertilizer is not like vitamin C where you just can't get enough. Fertilizer, actually, most of the fertilizers we have are a salt-based product. So we don't need any more salts in the soil than we need. So just be careful. Be sure that you know what you need. If you can identify a macro or micronutrient deficiency by some symptoms, you might be able to treat for a nitrogen or an iron deficiency. But it might be best if you are, wondering if you need fertilization, is to get collect a soil sample and submit it to a local laboratory. We offer that service, and it's not very expensive to do that. It gives you a really quick look at just what you need. Then you can provide a fertilizer that's based upon that analysis.
Now, you bring it to a laboratory or you have your own in-house laboratory?
No, we bring it to a laboratory locally.
What does that cost to do
about $125 for a sample. It's the test is about $100, so we just charge a little bit to be able to take it into the lab, drop it off to the laboratory.
For your time, sure.
Right, and then they send us back their recommendations, and it's really great. Good service.
And How long does that take for a sample? Is that something they can do in 5 minutes? Does that take a week to get
just
that?
Just a couple of days. Yeah, and then they'll send the report by email so we can just get it right out to our customers and they can – it gives you the electrical conductivity of the soil, the magnesium to calcium ratio. It gives you the soil pH plus all your macro and micronutrient needs. It's a great test.
I'm going to have to do that at my property because I'm very curious. And I didn't know such thing existed. We send soil tests for mold all the time for different projects in the house. I didn't know they existed for a soil. We were talking about root curling when you're buying roots. Let's start from the beginning. When you're purchasing a tree, you mentioned it's a great time to plant. And what's important to know when you're walking a row of trees at a nursery?
Well, there's a real problem that we've seen that's been pretty prevalent, and that is that plants that stay too long in the container tend to grow to the edges of the container and then begin to circle. And you've seen that as you've planted a plant into your garden that when you pull it out of the container, you can see the small roots that are wrapped around the outside. And you just have to be sure that those are massaged out or pulled away from that root ball, or you can even cut them on your smaller plant sizes. But we want to just be sure that you don't have any major circling roots. And you can simply, with the permission of the nursery, dig down around the base of the plant, right near the stem, the main trunk, dig down and see if there's any evidence of some circling that's severe.
And then do you have a preference on size? You get 5 gallon, 15 gallon, 24 inch box, 36 inch box. If you're installing for a customer, do you have a size preference you like to go with?
Well, we like the 15 gallon or the 24 inch box sizes. You know, every time that you bump a plant from a 1 gallon to a 2 to a 5 to a 15, and the nurseries bump those each time. And when they do, there's a chance that circling can be passed along to the different larger container sizes. So I always say that if you go with a smaller size container, you have less cultural problems with the tree and the potential for girdling roots in the smaller container sizes.
Is there a way to fix a girdling root?
Yeah, you can. If you see that you have some girdling roots and they're not very severe, you can simply do a little bit of root pruning or manipulation when you put the tree into the soil. There's some people around the country that are practicing taking the plant out of the container and actually washing all the planting medium off of the roots so you can see them in a small bath, you know, in a bucket of water and into a kiddie pool or something, and you can wash all the soil off and actually see the root architecture, and then you can make some small pruning cuts or pull the roots apart, and then take the plant, put it in your planting hole, and pour the slurry of soil and water back into the planting hole to plant it again.
You'd probably need to stake that tree pretty hard to keep it from sinking.
Yeah, well, that's right. You create a little bit of a slurry and put it back into the soil, and absolutely.
Now, when you're digging a hole to plant a tree, what's the proper way to get that hole ready?
You only want the hole to be the depth of the planting, the root ball itself. Never any deeper. You don't want to bury that trunk in soil. People are tempted to do that because it makes the tree more stable if you bury it deeper. But you don't ever want to do that. Keep it nice and high and in the soil, even with the surrounding grade. And then you want the planting hole to be, if you can make it double, twice the width of the root ball, that's great. Wider it was even better because those roots can then get out into that native soil a little more easily.
And it's a lot easier to go wider than deeper when you're digging in Arizona.
Yeah, for sure.
That clay can get pretty hard. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you have a question about your trees, we have John Eisenhower, certified arborist and owner of Integrity Tree Service, who's been servicing trees in Arizona for over 20 years. Russ and Vales, first on the line, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Hi. I've got a question. I've got a. I live on an acre and a half. It's mostly natural desert, and I've got a native mesquite. I don't know if it's a honey mesquite or what it is, but it's just one of the native mesquites that lives out here. And I've got mesquites all over the property, and they're really thriving. But this one is dying. It's got a real bad problem. It's bleeding from a lot of the branches. With the mild winter that we had, None of my mesquite trees ever lost their leaves. But this one shed all of its leaves, and with our early spring, all my other trees are putting out new growth, and this one's not putting out new growth. I'd like to try and find a way to save it, if possible, but I don't know exactly what to do for it.
Well, is this a native tree, or are these planted trees?
No, it's a native one. I've got several that I've planted, like the Chilean mesquites, you know, from the nursery on the property, and they're doing good. But this is a native tree. It's a good-sized tree. I don't know how old it is. It's probably been out there forever. And I noticed it in December. In December, all the other mesquites still had leaves on it, but this tree shed all of its leaves. And the bark is starting to crack, and it's starting to bleed, you know, that nasty black sap.
Right.
Yeah, that your trucks love that.
Yeah.
Park your truck under it, let that stick to that paint.
Yeah, it sounds. Does it have any sun damage, or is there been any construction damage around the tree?
I don't think so. I've been on the property a little over 10 years. I do prune it. And it's been a healthy tree for, you know, all of these years. But I don't prune it back too much because I know it still needs the canopy to shade the bark. So I don't think it's sunburn. It could be, but now one thing I'll mention in that same area, I have had a little problem with some cactus and whatnot that I've planted with grubs. And I've put down... I can't remember the brand name, but I put down a product. It was a granular.
Well, hang tight, Russ. We'll get to the bottom of this, and we'll see if we can't help your mesquite tree survive. Sean in Santan Valley wants to talk pomegranates, and an open line for you at 1-888-767-4348.